The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of absolutely no age, welcome back to the root canal of your audio experience, Chuck and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea, the show your conscience begged you to skip, but your poor life decisions insisted you tune in anyway. Tonight, we're broadcasting live from a defunct adult petting zoo because apparently the authorities can't revoke a license they never approved in the first place. As always, joining you are your hosts, Chuck, whose hobbies include hay fever and making his therapist cry, and Billy, the only man to fail a background check conducted by his own shadow. Together, they bring you the kind of content that makes even spam emails seem trustworthy by comparison. If you're here for insight, you're lost. If you're here by accident, remain calm and do not make eye contact with the co-hosts. They can smell fear and taste secondhand embarrassment. Expect zero wisdom, questionable hygiene, and more emotional whiplash than a clown car demolition derby. We have shocks, we have horrors, and, due to budget cuts, our entire fact-checking department is just a magic eight ball with all the answers saying, LOL, no. Pour yourself a drink, better make it a double. Hide the sharp objects, and brace for takes so scalding the Geneva Conventions filed a complaint. Because when it comes to bad ideas, Chuck and Billy brew them in industrial vats and serve them with extra pulp. So buckle in for another unlicensed, unhinged, and utterly unspeakable episode of Not Your Cup of Tea, the only show professionally recommended by nobody and medically discouraged by everyone else. Here's Chuck and Billy. We're so...
That's okay. No big deal.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Medically discouraged.
A magic eight ball with LOL and no.
LOL, no.
That's our fact-checking department.
Yeah, they're great.
It's probably one of the best.
They're amazing. So I'm not sure if that's our guess, but I'm going to say, welcome to Chuck and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea on WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield and WSBR
88.1 in Lee.
Billy will be right back going to grab the guests. So I'm going to still be right here chit-chatting with you guys. So, yeah. This is awesome. We have a guest today. I mean, we've been trying to get guests on for quite a while, actually, but, you know, it happens. You know, it happens. People have lives. They can't just, you know, do their thing. They can't come in here all the time. They got to work or they got to, you know, it's life. Take care of kids, you know, do whatever they got to do, stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's great. So our guest's coming in here. His name's Matt. So, yeah, let's give him a good introduction here. Why did the camera just move on its own free will? It's haunted. I knew it, man. I knew it. I knew the camera was haunted. Camera's haunted, everybody. All right. So sweet. Let's get this done. Yeah. So this is Chuck and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea on WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield. Yeah. So this is great. This is great. So I'm just rambling, bro.
It's all right.
Straight up rambling. That's four, correct? See if you can hear me. Check it out. You're good. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just watch language.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right.
All right. Can you hear me? Perfect. All right. Good. 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 All right. So
let's see if we can hear him. Let's put the mic on him. Say hello.
You guys hear me?
I can hear you.
We're all good?
All good.
Perfect.
Heck yeah.
All right, so you're going to have to sit a little close here, Matt.
Yeah, okay. we're on video, too.
Yep.
So.
Gotcha.
So. I got to get Billy in there. You guys know cuddling.
Okay.
You got half of Billy's face. It's great.
Yeah, that's okay. You don't need the whole thing.
Yeah, let me see.
It might scare people.
Let me see if I can move it over. Whoa, that's zooming. Oh, dear Lord, there it is.
You can see the gray hair and the beard.
Yeah, you sure can. So anyway, our guest today is Matt. He wants to help kids, obviously, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, I don't know. Somehow.
First, why don't we meet Matt?
Yeah, let's meet Matt.
So how do I know Matt?
Let's do it.
I don't know.
How do I know Matt? What's your earliest memory of you and me?
Wow. Dawes Ave.
Way mom, back when.
Yeah, your mother and my mother became best friends. And then you guys lived right across the street, and you would babysit your brother and, my, and me. And yes, sir, I used to love trouble. And
you know how we were talking about last week, how we used to like to go over to people's houses when we were babysitting and eat all their snacks.
Yes,
it was like I loved going over to Matt's house because his mom always had the best snacks, so we'd like eat up all the snacks at his house.
And these are delicious. How come mom doesn't buy these?
It was always the best stuff. It was like my house, we had like apples,
bananas,
pears. We go over to Matt's house, he's got fruit snacks and fruit roll ups and pops and.
I got you all the good stuff. There's plums in the sink.
Got you some strawberries, kids.
Get it out of the strainer. Quit whining.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of fun when we were young. And I mean, I think I'm hoping that, you know, that's the case with a lot of people. But
yeah,
we had a ton of fun when we were young.
Yeah, for sure.
Matt
was a good time.
Matt was a good kid, and I have to say, like the easiest kid ever, like the easiest kid ever to babysit. My brother, on the other hand,
he was a terror.
He was the one you had to tie up to the radiator and say, "Don't move."
You know, sure. These are pretend handcuffs. I'll come find you later.
Right, yeah. I don't know where the key is.
Playing hide and go seek. Yep. You stay in the basement. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Keep him out of trouble. As we're eating footlongs in front of them.
Snacks, that's right.
All
that's
right. Ching, ching.
You guys are jerks. I can't get out of here.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that was back in the day. I think I was like 12, 13 years old, I think.
Yeah, man. I think I was in third grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was that was a long time ago.
Just because you're saying 13, I'm old. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's true. I'm in my 40s.
I'm in my 50s. Well, I'm 50, but, you know.
So I have known Chuck since I was 16.
Yep.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Yep. Nice. Yep. There
so
you go.
All long-time friends that I have in the room with me here.
Sure.
So,
yeah, for sure.
So I remember. Now, I don't know if I really ever really liked this show, but I'd watch it. Was it? But Matt was obsessed with it.
Oh, God.
And, what's that?
And it was the Power Rangers, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All
so
right.
Who was your favorite Power Ranger, Matt? Was it the pink one?
I mean, obviously.
Right? Like, you still have the costume in your closet?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
He's never like, bought the costume.
Just once in a while, guys. I slipped that thing on. I'm like, I'm 13 again.
Listen, you know what, though? He isn't the only kid that was obsessed with the Power Rangers because it was a thing back then.
I mean, you're, you know, growing up and you're a boy, you're obsessed with the pink
Ranger. Voltron.
100%.
I was obsessed with Voltron. I liked Voltron.
I mean, in the 90s, young kid, it was the Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It was big time the Power Rangers. If you watched it now, though, Matt, what do you think your opinion of it would be?
Why did I watch this?
Probably the corniest thing I've ever seen in my life. So bad.
I know.
Power Ring Advance. No, what's going on here?
Didn't they have little watches or whatever that they'd press the button?
Yeah, it's like Morphin Time or something.
Yeah. Morphin Time.
Oh, my god.
I'm ahead of broccoli.
So,
yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
So Matt grew up to be a pretty decent guy.
Yeah.
He's got a family.
Yeah.
So Matt, tell us about your family.
Wow. Okay. So I have twin kids, 13, Lila and Landon. Love you both very much, by the way.
If you're listening.
If they're listening. going into eighth grade at Herbert. So yeah, I'm super proud of them. Really good kids. Very athletic. So
Nice. What's their sport of choice?
So Lila does gymnastics. She's been doing that since she was, two, something like that. And, you know, she's in the off season right now, but we're ramping up for her competition season. And she does incredibly well. I mean, she's, you know, top four all the time and her meets and her competitions and stuff. And Landon is, he's done everything. He's done football. He's done basketball, wrestling, He actually finished second in the state in his weight class in wrestling.
Look at that.
So, nice. Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, so that was really cool. Yeah,
congratulations on second place.
Yeah, man.
In the state.
It was awesome.
So that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
And the worst part about that was I was sick at home with the flu, so I had to watch it.
That was the worst part.
It was brutal, man. It was so awful.
You can't hear me, but I'm rooting for you, dude.
I
got my bucket and I'm watching.
Yeah, that's right. But his main sport is baseball, though.
Oh, nice.
He's been. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, he's been holding. I mean, he held a bat when he was, not even a year old. You know, he was holding bats. And,
oh, nice.
And is it because that's your favorite sport?
I'm going to assume so. Yeah. I'm going to assume so. I remember,
you will like baseball.
That's right. You don't have a choice.
I already bought you all these baseball clothes and everything before you were even born.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, they were all laid out. Oh, yeah. On the bed.
Red Sox, Red Sox.
I literally remember just laying out Milo's pink Red Sox outfit, Landon's, Red Sox outfit. Like, oh, dude, it was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Which then brings me to, what are you doing now? what are you doing for work? So
I work for Berkshire County ARC.
Okay.
Taking care of physically and mentally handicapped people. I've been doing that for actually 17 years. So, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's been a long ride there for sure. I've been doing that. And then I'm coaching baseball.
Oh, nice.
So, coaching baseball.
Yeah.
Now, how long did you play baseball? I know you played.
So I played... from coach's pitch. I played up until high school. I didn't play college ball. It was a personal choice. It was a personal choice not to play, but I played up until high school.
Now, did you ever play in the Berkshire Adult League?
I did.
Okay,
nice. I did.
So Matthew played in the Berkshire Adult League.
What'd you play for?
So I played for the Berkshire Thunder.
I played for the Thunder for a little bit.
Oh, did you?
Then I went on and built my own team, and then they. Did whatever they had to do with it.
Oh, anyways, okay. So when I was on the Thunder, we won, four years in a row.
Yeah.
The championship. I didn't play this year, though. I actually didn't play last year either, I don't think. Yeah, no, not last year either. My shoulders are all jacked up. And
yeah, they
and
get that way,
isn't
huh?
It, you know?
Isn't it awesome getting...
Yeah, right? Oh, dude, it's a problem.
Getting old?
I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's a really fun league.
So you've been playing baseball since you were just a wee little one.
Yep.
And you've been coaching baseball for how long?
So, man, I started as an assistant at St. Joe when I was like 21, I think, 22.
And so you started coaching at what St. Joe, you said?
Yeah, it was softball. My buddy at the time was a coach there, and he had asked me to come on, and I was like, sure, why not? So,
yeah.
And then from there, it was so long ago, 21, 22 years old up until now. From there, I know I've done, travel ball out of Albany over at Frozen Ropes with my buddy Bill. I helped coach Lennox High School. I was actually on the staff when we won our first Western Mass championship in 35 years.
Oh, nice.
So that was really cool. Yeah, I think that was like 2016, I think it was. So, yeah, man. And then I took a couple years off. And then when my son made Little League, went into Little League.
Yeah.
I wanted him to kind of establish his own name, because obviously in Little League there's politics and, daddy, know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, we got to get this kid on the team because his son is... his dad is a coach and all that stuff. So I wanted him to establish himself for his name, and he did, thankfully. He's made the All-Star team. He was an incredible pitcher. So the 12-year-old year that he was in just a couple years ago, he wanted me to coach. I was like, fine, that's awesome. You're already established. I would love to do that, your final year of Little League, and did that. And then helped out this past year with my buddy in Babe Ruth. And now I'm trying to,
do something new.
Do something new, trying to be the head.
Bring something new.
You're trying to do, though.
The head guy. Trying to be the head guy. And, basically just trying to, advance baseball around here.
Okay.
I think, some people, or not some people, but, coaches old school coaches have an old school approach. They haven't really adapted to, you know, the game today.
Yeah.
You know, because the game is ever evolving.
It's all,
it's
all over the place.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, just, absolutely.
You're like, what's going on?
Yeah, right.
It's one of those industries where it changes all the time. And you got your old timers who want to do things the way they used to do things, or they always done things.
Sure.
And some are a little bit more, a little bit less excited to advance to something new or innovative because it's always worked one way.
Correct.
You know, if it ain't broke.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, some people are unorthodox when they do it, too. So.
Right.
But in something like that, in a field like that, you want to explore. You want to kind of think out of the box sometimes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because, again, like you said, it's ever-changing. And it's innovative. Mm-hmm. And it is changing every year. There's something new or there's something different. And there's always something to learn.
The only thing I hate is the pitching counter. I can't stand that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when they stand on second and then when it's a tie, why? Dude, grow
up. That's a great question. Right. Yeah.
Play the game like you're supposed to. Yeah. Like a baby.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Right, yeah. Earn it.
It's almost like they take things from other baseball leagues.
Sure, yeah.
To say, okay, you stand here and then you run because
that's what they did with football, too.
We don't want to be here forever.
Right, exactly. That's what
they did with football, too. Yeah. You remember the kickoffs. They used to just run at it. Now they don't. They just stand there. So that's new.
I mean, it makes sense because they don't want to cause any more issues with somebody if they have a concussion. It's like a concussion thing.
Injury thing,
they hit them harder, like when they're running faster, so they want to slow down.
Again, it's innovation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the new helmets.
Yeah.
You know, the more that they make them ergonomic or whatever, it's better. it's better for the shock.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
So yeah, baseball and football and some of the sports today are coming out with all these new dynamics.
I'm like the old school baseball guy. Like I can't stand the instant replay. I can't stand just let it be called. Who cares if you're safe? If you're out or not, who cares?
You
got called out, period.
Yeah.
No one's perfect, so leave it alone.
Sure. Yeah. But you know, when I was talking about like with the old school coaching way, it's more, I've seen a lot of guys base their success on wins.
Yeah.
You know, not developing the kids.
Yeah.
You know, the proper way. You know, so that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm like, okay, you know, I've studied the game for quite a while, and more so, you know, these past couple of years where I've seen things, I'm like, holy cow, yeah, that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so I just
it's
wanna,
really interesting you know, that you say that, because I just watched a podcast today.
Yeah.
That had to do with an attorney who happens to be someone I know. And he said that he stopped, so he's a very successful guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to become successful, he stopped focusing on the end, on the win.
Mm-hmm.
And focused more on the process.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times where you're going to hear people say, if you want to be successful at something and you want to manifest it, think about what it's going to be like at the end, right?
Right.
Yeah. And see yourself there. And usually don't they tell you don't pay too much attention to the details in between.
Sure.
But with some things, it's better when you are the person that's creating, you know, making the change. Yeah. It's better to think about the details and what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really funny you bring that up, because I literally just before I came here watched this podcast and he said the same thing.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's super, super successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
That's how that's one of the things that like I've been noticing that super, super successful people are talking about, which leads me to think that this idea of yours starting this out, and I mean, this isn't even just your idea. You know, people have told you should be doing this for how long now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a little bit, you know, but with the kids growing up and all that stuff, and I've just never really, I don't know, thought about it, I guess, or really gave it, you know, a second thought. And now I'm like, okay, you know what?
Makes a
lot of sense, yeah.
What is it exactly we're talking about? Have we even dove into what we're talking about right now?
Not really.
So we're going to reveal that.
Let's
I think
get our
we're
Power
gonna...
Ranger watches up.
Yeah. I think going to do is we're going to take this That's first amazing. Half, and we're going to continue talking about you. You know, because we want to give people of Berkshire County an idea of who they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half, we're going to talk about what you're going to bring to Berkshire County for the youth.
Yeah.
And I think it's a wonderful idea. And, you know, I wouldn't have asked you, we wouldn't have asked you, both of us here,
sure,
to come on and talk about it if we didn't think it was an awesome idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
So, and we just think that it should be something that people need to know about.
It's true. Most coaches go for wins. They don't care about developing their kids.
Right.
They just were like, oh, well, you struck out, now sit down.
Right.
Why did you strike out? Yeah. What mistakes were made? Yeah, exactly.
Like, when I coached Little League, there was this kid that couldn't hit at all. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, keep standing up there and trying. Keep giving your best shot. And I was, he was like, well, I need help. And I was like, I'll help you after the game. How's that?
Yep.
And his dad was like, oh, that's a great idea. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I helped him, showed him how to hit and everything like that. He was like, oh, I never thought I could do that. I was like, you can do it, man. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, next game, boom, double, boom, single. I was like, I told you. He was like, I could do it. And he got super excited. And I was like, man, there's got to be somebody out there that should do this for kids.
You know, you say it's not that hard, but it is to them.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? Like to me or to us, it may not be so hard. But like to them, when they are swinging and they're missing, it's hard. And it just brings their confidence right down.
He had no confidence whatsoever.
Yeah.
I built it up for him. I showed him. I was like, this is what you got to do. You got to do this, man.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
Especially for kids that are like, you know, I was just having this conversation with you outside. For kids who are more introverted, but they really want to do something with a team, or they really, really want to do something, you know, in sports, but they're too shy or they're too afraid to do it on their own. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's because their confidence isn't high and they feel like that somebody's going to say something to them, or somebody's going to laugh at them, or someone's going to make fun of them. And that's usually not the case anyway. But to be able to build the confidence of that one kid and give them the opportunity to go try out for that team,
absolutely,
you know, is a big deal. And once his confidence or her confidence is built up, and they feel better about it, it's because of something that you helped them with, or something that they, you know, someone else, maybe even a parent, may have helped them with. Mm-hmm. And parents today are so busy, you know, because as you probably know, you must have at least two jobs.
Yeah.
You know, to support a household. At least two jobs to support a household. And it's like, it's very difficult. And nobody's blaming anybody for it. It's just like, it's very difficult for parents today to sit down with their kids and teach them how to play baseball and teach them, you know, and play catch with them. It's very difficult to find that time. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it was different back when I was a kid.
Sure.
When people could throw the ball around with me.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's just a little bit different.
It's just way above than what it ever was back in the day.
Oh, big time.
I mean, I played baseball in the 80s, okay? Yeah. I played Little League for four years.
Yeah.
And not from 9 until I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason, I was in New York. So we would play, baseball was the biggest thing in New York. It wasn't football, it was baseball.
Yeah.
So, and I was in, you know, upstate New York. I wasn't in like New York City or anything. And I remember getting picked for the All-Star team was like the biggest honor that you could get in Little League.
Yeah.
You know, and that was something that the All-Star, they would build a team for each state.
Yeah.
And those teams would go play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was televised.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember my very last year I was picked for the All-Star team as a pitcher.
Yeah.
And I never got to pitch one game because we moved. So I still had the jersey for a long time. I still had the All-Stars jersey for a long time. But
still fit?
Now? I don't know. I remember putting it on the dog for Halloween once. I was like, come here, puppy. Shirt. I'm going to put this on you. I can't wear it.
It's not going to fit me.
I was pretty quick. I moved here, and I was like, well, I'm never going to wear this to play. So I put it on the dog. I was like, here you go, buddy. You can wear it.
It's all yours, pal.
It's all yours. But, I can remember when I started out, and I played my heart out. I tried out so hard. That's how I got picked. You know, and I've told this story before. My mom asked me what I knew about baseball. And I'm like, I'm 8 years old, you know, and I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure. Back then we didn't have internet. So, you know, she said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to learn everything there is to know about baseball. And then I'm going to quiz you. Such and such date. I think it was like in February or something. It was before tryouts. She's like, if you pass my little quiz, I'll let you try out. So I was like, all right. So I took the whole winter all the way up, and I went to the library and I took out every single book there was about baseball, and I read it and I practiced it. And they had like little pictures and everything. Like they showed you how to do stuff. They showed you how to do things. And I just read everything I could. By the end of that, my mom gave me the quiz. I passed the quiz. I went and tried out. And I played like I was already on a team. All right, like I played so hard, like harder than any other kid that was there, I feel like.
Love it.
And that's why that was one of the reasons they picked me. And then I can remember just, you know, they stick you in outfield. They always stick you in outfield when you first start.
Yep.
I'm 9 years old. They stick you in outfield. I was in center field. That was my first position, my first play ever, and the first time I really knew I loved the game. So that first play was a pitch, a crack of the ball, and a line drive right straight to center field. And I didn't know what else to do other than put my glove up in front of my face because I saw that ball coming right from my head.
You sandlotted it.
I was just going to say.
Seriously, like, all I did was just this.
Put your glove up.
Like, I just went like this, and I caught it. And then the cheers and the automatic out, and then just, like, how that felt. I was like, oh, my God, this rush of just.
Yeah.
I loved it from that point on, and I just kept playing. And after that, it was But then they started sticking me in other places. Then I started getting into the infield. And then I asked if I could be a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, you got an arm? I was like, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I said the same thing to them I said to my mother. And I'm like, the only way to find out is to do it, right?
Yeah.
So we did it. And it was a little bit erratic. You know, I had speed, but it was a little bit erratic. So there was a pitching coach.
Yeah.
And the pitching coach sat with me. And the pitching coach, one-on-one, had coached me into pitching. And eventually, I started pitching no-hit games.
Mm-hmm.
No-hit games. And, I mean, my arm would get tired. They'd stick somebody in. If I pitched a whole game, because Little League was only six innings.
Yeah.
If I pitched a whole game, my arm would get tired. I might hit a couple batters by accident, you know. But those are there were a bunch of no-hit games. So I'd end up either walking somebody or hitting somebody up by accident. And then that would be the only reason they got on base.
Heck yeah, dude. That's awesome.
But it wasn't like that at first.
I was killing the umpire.
Of course.
You know, there was this kid, there was this other kid on one of the other teams, and he was an amazing pitcher. This kid was at 10 years old pitching 60 miles an hour, and I'm not even kidding.
Damn.
Like, kids had a hard time hitting the ball off of this guy. And I remember thinking to myself, I always struck out. Always struck out on him. And I could just remember thinking to myself, I'm going to hit this ball. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hit this ball. So I kept trying different things. So the only way, I did crack this ball. And the only way I did it was I started to lean back. I took my leg up, getting ready to swing. When his arm was back here, like back past his shoulder, before he even threw the ball is when I started to swing. And that's how I ended up hitting it. That's how fast that
like
ball
one,
came
two,
down.
Three, boom, hit it. That's
right. I mean, that's so... That's perfect. It's timing.
It's all in time. Like, you have to study that. You have to study the way that they do things.
Yes. Yeah. And
that's how you figure it out. But I cracked it, and I ended up, I thought it was going to go over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, my, if I hit a home run off this, let alone did I hit this ball, but I'm like, if I hit a home run off this guy, holy cow, man. I was excited. I was so excited. I thought it was gone, you know? And this kid just climbed the fence, and he just... reached over and caught it.
Man.
He caught it over the fence, and I was like, "You gotta be kidding me!" But I hit it, and that's all I cared about. Like I was like, "I hit it."
Right.
And they ended up pulling me. You know, on my last year there, we won. So my team won for 3 years that I was on the four. It was that first year that we lost. We came in second place, but after that, the next 3 years we were in first place.
Dang! Look at that.
And so I got picked for. All-star pitcher. So did the other kid. And, you know, I remember his name. It was Ostrander.
Okay.
It was his last name.
Yep.
And he did too. He got picked as well. So they always had, like, backups, you know. They picked a bunch of kids from each of the teams in my town. It would have been an amazing experience. Unfortunately, I didn't get to experience it, but...
Right.
It is what it is, but I made it.
Yeah, heck yeah.
You know, after that, I came here, so I had no idea.
Right.
That's the other thing. Like, you have no idea. As a kid, you don't know where to start.
Sure.
You know, and life wasn't easy when I got here, so.
Yeah, no.
Not in Pittsfield.
No.
No. I mean, where do you even start? My mom wouldn't have known where to look or anything, so I never got into it, you know, here when I moved here, and I never got into it in high school. I lacked the confidence.
Sure,
yeah, sure.
So that's what I think that
a little bit, but
I think that's what kids need.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. Absolutely.
And now there's more information out there, and it's easier to get.
Right. And I think that's also a good and a bad thing, right? Because, you know, there's so many ways that you can get that information where it can almost be overwhelming for a kid.
Yeah, sure could.
You know, so, like, I mean, if you have your dad coaching you, and then you go to, you know, a facility, and they tell you another thing, and then you go to, you know, Babe Ruth, and they tell you another thing, you know?
Yeah, so then you have all these different things.
You're getting pulled in so many different directions, so it can be overwhelming for sure.
Which is it?
Yeah, right, yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm pulling my head? Yeah. No, we don't mean you're pulling it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Stop swinging like you're golfing.
That's right. That's right.
That's what I would do in Taconic. And like, he's like, knock it off. I'm like, what am I doing? He's like, stop swinging like that. You're not Jose Canseco. I was like, all right. All right.
So.
Oh, man, that's good. Yes. Yes, that's funny. All right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so here we go.
Yeah, so it's time for a PSA.
Yeah, it's Thank you for listening to Chuck and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea on WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield
and WSBR 88.1 in Lee.
We'll be right back after this commercial break.
From the cobblestone streets
That's
of Paris
not it, homie.
And the smoky
BRTA
back rooms
offers
of your
training
favorite
to any person or group new to using the bus system or the process. We have a certified travel trainer that will make the process easier. Our travel trainer will ride the bus with you until you are more comfortable with how everything works. They can teach you about fares, how to read the schedules, how to get on or off the bus, and pedestrian safety. If you are interested in this service, please email traveltraining@berkshirerta.com.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Service. All right, we're back. So, yeah, that first part was a commercial, but anyways.
Was that your commercial?
Yes, you need to hear this commercial.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's give Matt the rundown real quick. We make our own fake commercials sometimes.
Okay.
He gets to witness this.
Oh boy.
This is my first time hearing this commercial.
Yeah, he's never
right.
This.
So I've
he's
never heard it either.
It.
So we're in the same boat.
Okay.
All right. So we're gonna listen to it while we're while
so
on
an authentic
air.
Reaction.
So
got
yeah, authentic
we
reactions.
Got we can't say bad words.
No.
All right. Here we go.
From the cobblestone streets of Paris and the smoky back rooms of your favorite barbecue joint comes a fragrance unlike any other. Introducing Eau de Porquet. The man who's tired of smelling like mountain waterfalls, fresh laundry, or whatever a blue rush is supposed to be. No, mon ami. Now, you can smell like what you truly desire. Sweet. Caramelized, pork, and with subtle notes of glazed ham, a whisper of maple bacon, and just a touch of forbidden honey glaze, you'll be irresistible. Women will swoon. Grandmothers will start asking what you're marinating in, and local wild boars may get a glint in their eye. Warning, side effects may include sudden picnic invitations from strangers, mysterious breadcrumbs in your pockets, uncontrollable desire to strut down supermarket aisles, bacon in hand. But be advised, Eau de Porquet takes wild attractions seriously. Please
well
avoid
done.
Zoos, parks, and all wooded areas. Unless you enjoy being followed by raccoons, wolves, or your ex from culinary school. This season, put some sizzle in your step, some bacon in your bravado, and let the world know you're delicious, spiritually and aromatically.
Aromatically.
Eau de Porquet. Poor
Eau de Porquet.
Poor appetite. Poor disaster insurance.
Not responsible for stampedes, surprise cookouts, or unsolicited recipe requests. Use at your own risk. No pigs were harmed in the making of this aroma, but a few French chefs had strong opinions.
Ode to Porky.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
we talked about this like last, like, was good. it was last week or the week before that? Yeah, we were talking about Ode to Porky. Ode to Bacon.
It's funny because I went to
it's so good.
PCTV Select and I was like listening to our show and I was like, oh, Ode to Porky, I got to make that. And I started making it. So.
That was good.
Yeah, it was
that
good.
Was really good. That was.
Stay away from zoos.
Wooded areas.
Yeah, wooded areas.
Be followed by raccoons and wolves.
Ode to Porky.
She was the only one that could do that. The best voice for that. Everybody else was like, oh, de Porky.
Absolutely
like, no.
Fantastic. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That would have been funny, though. Ode to Porky.
Yeah, but our. Oh, they took it off.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's all right.
Anyways. Oh, the Applebee's one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kentucky Fried Chili, Apple Gart Chili Garden, something
golden. Yeah, buffet. It was like every single restaurant, but like all in one.
Oh, man. That's
like
so
artery clogging. They have EMTs on hand.
Yeah.
Just in case.
They're on staff waiting just in case.
If you get through the salad bar, you win a t-shirt that says, I made it through the salad bar.
I ate the big one.
Yeah. I almost bit it, but I ate it.
Oh, man. Oh man, that's awesome. That's good stuff. Very good stuff.
Wow. We've made a lot of commercials before.
I got the dreamy days and the woke up like this one. That one's good.
I woke up like this one. That one's good too.
That one's great.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yes.
Love so
it. Love it.
So besides Ode to Porky, we can talk about. What Matt is thinking about doing for the youth of the Berkshires.
Yeah.
Matt, so it's best explained, by you, obviously. So what is it exactly that you plan on doing?
I mean, honestly, I just one-on-one, right, with kids that just want to get better at baseball. And trying to, like you said earlier, you know, when you're learning, you don't have the confidence, right? You want to get in there and teach these kids to obviously learn the game, but through that, you're going to gain that confidence. So obviously there's tons of resources around here where you can do that, but it's very, busy. And where for me, I would just like to work with kids just, one-on-one, two at a time, just to kind of, so I can really focus on what they want to do and what they want to get better at.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can put your own personal spin on it. So it's like, it's not like they've gone to a place that's been doing it for, years and years, or has been doing it for, 10 years, 5 years, or whatever.
Sure.
They're usually sort of like mechanical mm-hmm. when they get to that point.
Right.
Where it's more of a personal touch when it's somebody real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's somebody that has a background of baseball, throughout his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching his own kid, teaching. I'm sure you've even helped some of your fellow players when you were playing. I mean, you're coaching now. So
yeah.
So it's something you've been doing, but it's
mm-hmm.
what sets you apart is that it's your own personal touch. So like every one of us has a unique imprint
Absolutely.
In the world.
Right.
So your unique imprint is going to be going along with these kids. And as they're going along and moving forward in life, this is something that you helped them do.
Mm-hmm.
So, not many people can say that they've been able to do that.
Right, right.
So you're offering, so what you're basically saying is that you're offering private lessons.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for anybody that just wants to get
for
better.
For the youth of the Berkshires. Now, yeah. here's what's cool is, like, it's not like you have to, like, stick out like a sore thumb or raise your hand in a full classroom of people and say, I want to do it.
Right.
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 If a parent is interested, they can send you an email. If a kid is interested, they, obviously would have to talk to their parents. They'd send mm-hmm. you an email.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an email address here. So if anybody has, if you have anything, if you're driving or whatever this is, we're going to say it again later on, but we have an email address here for you to be able to contact Matt if you're interested in some private lessons. And I think it's good. I think it's a great idea.
It is.
Because
there's not very many people out there that do that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
They just rather coach, my opinion from coaches that I've had, coach and criticize. There's no reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's coaches I've had that have been great and be like, oh, I'll show you what to do.
Right.
Well, plus
right.
It's, the individuality of it is like it is. They can it is. Like you can work with a kid.
Yeah.
And learn how they learn.
Mm-hmm.
And right. it's so much easier to learn something when your instructor or your coach or your teacher knows the best way you learn.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll give you an example. For example, I hated math. Mm-hmm. Right. I hated math all the way up until I was an adult because I didn't know how to do the algorithms.
Yeah.
Then I took a college course. I took a math course in college. My instructor taught me way differently than any other teacher had ever taught me before. And I understood all the algorithms. And then I loved it
because
I was like, this is interesting.
Right.
It's like a science experiment once you get down to it, you know, and you're looking at it and these math problems are like, there's like science experiments, except there's an answer instead of a hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is all about how you're taught. And if that person that's teaching you is teaching you the way you learn, because if you're not getting it, you're not going to get it. So here's the email address, and that's mm092985@aol.com. That's mm092985@aol.com.
That should have made it Pink Power Throwback. Ranger.
Yeah.
pinkpowerranger.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Of course, you know, I'm gonna say that email again a couple of times, so if you missed it, if you didn't get a chance to write it down, and again, this is live streamed, and you can also find it on PCTV Select.
Yep.
And you can always go back and watch that part and get the email.
You can go back and just listen to the podcast itself.
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube as well.
Yep. We're everywhere. Sorry.
So yeah, please, you know, send down an email if you're interested, and he can give you all the details. You guys can discuss amongst yourselves how you want to do it.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I think it's an amazing opportunity. Like,
I mean, what little skills they have, you can up them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's focus on what you're doing good now.
Right.
We'll focus on that stuff later.
Or if you have zero skills.
No, yeah,
like if
either
you,
way.
You don't know at all what you're doing and you want to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, like you were talking, which is fantastic. It's like I've already like prepared like that type of speech where, you know, you could be taught this way and not get it, but me working exclusively with you, I think I can get you to understand it.
You know? Knowing you, Matt, like you're such an easygoing guy. You're the type of guy that, you know, reads the room, that feels out the people, and then knows, okay, this person, you know, is a little bit nervous, and I'm not gonna say this thing, or I'm not gonna do this thing, so I'm not gonna make them more nervous.
Sure.
So you're that type of guy where you're not gonna get upset at somebody because they're not getting it. You're gonna figure out what it is that's preventing them from learning it,
big time,
in their way,
big time, yeah.
And it's, I think that sets you apart as well, is that you feel people out, you can understand. There are a lot of things going on in kids' lives these days.
Absolutely, yeah.
And sometimes they're not focused. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not focused on what they're doing at the moment, and it could be difficult. And I know that you have that way about you too, Matt, where, you know, just being present helps people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've always had a very calm and collected type of personality. So that's what we want to get out there, is that to get to know you, you know, to give people the reason why they should contact you and have their kids go and meet you. And obviously, you know, the parents will be welcome.
Of course.
You know,
absolutely.
No. You know, obviously.
Stay away, right?
But I mean, and of course they can meet with you too, and you know, ahead of time, and then, you know, whatever it is you guys decide to do. But, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for the youth of the Berkshires. And it's not just boys, it's girls too, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Everybody. Yes.
Yeah. So boys and girls alike.
Yep.
Because girls like baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. They like baseball.
You know, it's not just softball.
No. You're right. Right.
You know, girls like baseball too.
You got to learn how to hit the smaller ball, girls.
Something, baby.
I think it's cute to watch kids play T-ball. I think it's like the cutest game ever. Like,
it's just
so
absolute
little.
Chaos.
It is.
Just chaos.
It's just chaos, and they're having fun, and it's the
so
funniest
good.
Thing.
I think they should start an adult
league. T-ball.
No, an adult T-ball league. After a few beers.
Oh, my God.
After a few beers,
sign me up, dude.
Yeah, for real. Like, we were talking about that, I think. Yeah, that would be so funny.
Oh, man.
It would be hilarious.
It has to be, like, all the same sizes. So, like, the bat, the balls, everything, the tee, has to be the same exact size as regular tee ball.
Because
hilarious. I think adult trying to swing a tee ball bat.
I
can do this.
Exactly. Oh, man. What a fantastic
that
idea.
That would be so much fun.
It would be,
even, like, the field would be the size of
a
tee ball.
You couldn't even call it a beer league because it's already a beer league.
Right. Yeah.
Let's get hammered and play t-ball.
I think you don't even have to start a league. You could just start a group of people that want to do
it. So
and
dude.
Just go get the stuff and then just go over to, you know, Clab Park
people
or something.
In the outfield. Easy enough, got
it. Yeah.
Do it with wiffle balls first.
Yeah, right.
Or tennis balls.
How funny would that be?
Oh, yeah.
Because honestly, you think that you do, oh, it's on a tee, I can hit it.
No,
I can guarantee you it's not going to be as easy as you think.
The first thing you always hit is the rubber part of the tee. You never touch the ball.
Yeah, and it knocks it over.
Yeah, it knocks it over.
And it's like, whoop,
and then, of course, you know, if you've been drinking, you got to figure out which ball to hit.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
you
got to
get up there. Yeah, right? Can you imagine how many
stupid ball here?
Can you imagine how many whiffs, like, whiff swings there's going to be?
So awesome.
How many people are gonna fall down?
Oh,
we have to put mats down.
Yeah, we gotta. Put
mats. It's usually older. It's like usually older people.
Crash pads.
Yeah.
We got it.
Gym mats.
The whole outfield padded.
Yeah, the whole outfield's padded. Yeah.
It looks like you're in a mental hospital. Outside.
Oh, that's so funny.
I've been in one of these before, but it was enclosed.
Yeah, I think, like, T-ball bats are about the same size as the bats you can get at, like, baseball games.
I think you should get those
that you stick next to your door.
Oh, yeah.
There's some intruder, and you got the T-ball bat. I'm going to get you.
Gotcha. Oh, sorry, buddy. Didn't know it was you coming in the door.
But, yeah, that would be fun.
It would be hilarious.
I think it would be fun.
See if you can do it holding the beard.
I know there's a group of people that do kickball.
Yeah.
But see, I think it's great too, but I don't think I'd be able to do the kickball thing.
Mm-hmm.
But T-ball?
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun because, like, you don't need both of your hands for that.
But see, I was trying to start an adult wiffle ball league.
Yeah, I remember.
Blast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I was excited to do it, but then it was like, things happened, and I was like, I can't do it now. So I was trying to talk to what's his face at the infield, and he was like, "Yeah, you can do it in that big area." And I was like,
"Oh, Mike,
that'd be perfect, yeah,
Mike, yeah,
yep." And he was like, "Yeah, you can do that here." And I was like, "Oh, it'd be great." And I tried to start an adult hockey league, and I was like, "Just nothing's panning out, man. Everything's messing me up."
So instead of trying to start a whole league, why not just get a bunch of people together that want to do it and just do it?
Yeah,
that's what I want.
You
to
know,
do.
You don't have to, like, make it official. Like, have fun, because, like, there's really nothing going on in Pittsfield, right?
No, there's nothing.
And that's another reason why this is a great idea for the youth of Pittsfield, because. Yeah. Especially when they're not in school and there's nothing to do. And then they go and they train with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue to do that year after year after year. And it's something that they can be proud of.
And they finally know, and they're like, yes, I got it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for
then
sure.
Then you feel proud.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, that's what I, you know, basically base my, like, you know, success on is seeing the kid go out there and do their thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Improve so much. You know,
that's what gives you the chills.
It's amazing, man. You know, so I'm going to my buddy, you know, his kid during last fall ball. So my first, like, year for coaching Babe Ruth was last fall. My buddy had asked me to help him. And, you know, I was like, all right, you know, Landon came onto the team too. And my other buddy, his son was on the team. The entire fall ball season, he didn't get a hit. So. I was asked back with Landon and my other buddy, with his son, to coach again. Like, it was all three of us again. So, in the beginning of the season, he and I really worked together. My buddy's son and myself.
Yeah.
This past season, he was unbelievable. He was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was smashing. I mean, he almost made the All-Star team. But, I mean, he was just putting the ball in play everywhere. You know, he went up there during fall ball. There was a couple times where he would go up there and his legs were shaking, you know?
Well, yeah.
You know?
He's like, I'm going to do this. I know I can.
You get nervous.
But, you know, and then this past season for the spring, he was up there confident, and he was just driving the ball everywhere. It was awesome to see. It was so cool.
See, and then that's the outcome that you want. That's the outcome that the kids want, and that's the outcome the parents of the kids want. You know, they want to get involved too. And it's like, you know, kids can get real shy. Kids can get real, and especially if you're swinging and missing all the time.
Absolutely.
Eventually, that just like kind of like brings you even further in, and you're like, I don't even know if I want to play this game.
Right, right.
Like you started out loving it, and you want to do it, and then all of a sudden, it's like you're not where you thought you were going to be.
Sure.
So having someone like you around to help the kids is an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
Because you can just keep that confidence up and then say, hey, let's figure out what it is that you're doing that is preventing you from getting to where you want to be.
Right, right. And he really
it's not that they're doing anything wrong. It's like, what are you doing that's preventing you from getting
going
where you want to be?
Yeah. And he really took it, you know, in stride, you know, what we were working on, and he really applied it to himself, which was good.
And you're like, I did that.
No, he did that.
He did that.
But you had
a little part in helping him realize what he can do.
Yeah. Sure.
With your help, you got to say it was you too.
Yeah.
You got to take that.
Yeah. And I would always tell his dad, you know, how proud I am of him. He'd be like, well, you know, he had a good hitting coach, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right, you know.
One of these kids you train, you never know.
I have to be humble.
I did
that. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, stay humble. Yeah, remember where you came from. We all started somewhere, right?
Who do you want to thank?
Right. My mom and dad.
Yeah. The heck, I trained you, man.
Yeah, right.
No, but I mean, it's a good headspace to be in. Like, all right, like these kids have got their own skills.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to harness them.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they just need a little bit of coaching to pull out where that is. And,
yeah.
And bring it all out.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously, like, best. If you're coaching an entire team, you can't, it's difficult to work one-on-one with kids.
Yeah, it's a pain.
You know what I mean? So it's really hard to try to, like, not cater to them, but, you know, try to help them while the other team, or while the rest of the team is doing their own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, with this, it's just basically, all right, come here.
Yeah,
let's try to work with it. Let's see what you need to get fixed. We'll fix it.
Yeah. It's the same thing with teachers. You know? Like, you got a classroom of 30 kids, and each kid learns differently.
Right.
So, like, you pick, you know, as a teacher, I would, you know, if it were me and I was teaching, I would try to find the way to get the information to these kids is the most, like, used or most understood way. But there are kids that won't be able to learn that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, there's not enough time for a teacher to sit down with those kids and say, you know, and figure out what it is how they learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they have tutors for kids for school.
Exactly.
So why not have a baseball tutor?
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And at least, you know, in that little specific time frame, we can work on the fine details that need to be, you know, addressed. Yeah. Whereas, you know, a kid in practice or a kid in a group setting, you know, it's difficult to do that type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
again, the shyness and the introvert kid that still wants to kind of be out there and kind of want to do things socially. It's like, you know, he or she may want to learn this, but it's everything else is racing in their minds. And that is today's youth.
Yep.
Right.
Like everything else is racing in their minds. Like, what is this person going to, what is that kid going to think of me if I swing and miss? What is that kid going to think of me if I can't catch the ball?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the coach going to think of me if this or that? And that's not the case, but that's what's in their minds.
I mean, the good thing is when I coach and anyone struck out, I always told all the kids, I'm like, if anyone strikes out, you do not laugh at them. You praise them because it gives them more, you know, ups their self-esteem. And he's like, well, if he strikes out, it means he sucks. I'm like, you don't ever say that ever to me.
No, because everyone strikes out. Everyone.
Yeah, I was like, don't ever say that to me.
Ask any MLB player that's ever played.
Yeah.
They're 100 out of 100 are going to say that they do.
Yeah, right? Like, exactly.
Everyone strikes out.
Every single person.
Strikes out, man.
Every single person.
Nobody
superstars.
Does it not strike out. It's come on.
Superstars.
Yeah.
Superstars have struck out.
Yeah.
In the middle of a superstar game.
But it's like,
okay, so there is,
I just wanted to make people, when I were ever struck out, make them feel good. When I was like, oh, you give your best shot, buddy. You don't give them a high five. Like, oh, all right.
Yeah, I think it's important.
But if you just like sit there and go,
I think it's important to say, hey, no, next time it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know how much courage it takes for just a kid to step up to the plate.
Yeah, it takes a lot. It
takes a lot of courage to get up there with a baseball bat.
In front of all these
bat.
Parents mm-hmm. and all these other kids and the kids on
their,
the other
their
team.
Their parents and yeah, the other right. team. Like, sure, and, yeah, sure, it takes a yeah. lot of courage to it get does. Up there, you know, and stand at that home plate with a bat in your hand mm-hmm. yeah. and just think about that pitcher and that ball.
Right.
Yep. That you know, to imagine all of those people not even there. I like that's I what thinking, I used yeah. to do is imagine they weren't even there.
I know
that was
yeah.
by myself.
I think
with
I was
the
only kid in Little League that used a wooden bat. I refused to use a bat.
I loved a wooden bat.
No kidding.
I had an old Kansas City Royals bat and it was blue.
No kidding. Wow.
And, yeah.
How about that?
And the first day I came up, he was like, "You ready?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, you're gonna be the first one up." I'm like, "All right." So I first one, first pitch, crack. See ya.
Yeah.
He was
I
like,
love
"What
the
heck?"
Bats.
I was nice. Like, started running, got a home run.
There's a lot less. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a lot less impact on wooden bats than there are on the metal.
Yeah.
Like my hands didn't hurt
like,
as much
just,
on the wooden
the
bats.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate
yeah.
the sound. I
yeah,
like
they
it.
Crack. Sometimes they crack. Like, they have that loud pitch.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
yep. But it was yeah, still sure. like those wooden bats. I had a wooden bat too. It, on the bottom, it was a number four.
Yeah.
so oh, I was like, yeah, yeah.
It was the heaviest
yes.
bat ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
but if I could swing that bat funny. And I could just hit, you know, hit the ball just right, you don't even feel it, and it goes so far.
Yeah, I hit yeah. that bad boy right on the sweet spot. I was like...
Yep.
See ya.
yep. All these see you later.
Are like, what the?
Yeah.
I'm like, go get it. And then, ding, 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 home run.
Right.
I didn't even have the ball in. I was already home. And they're like, here you go. and then they were like, oh, you can't use that bat no more. What do you mean?
what? Yeah.
You
what?
Think it's corked or something?
Right. yeah. like, yeah. No, you can't use it because it's an advantage.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have a lot less impact, I feel like.
Yeah. And then when I got the metal bat after that, I couldn't hit nothing. I hated that bat. It felt more heavier in the front than it did where I wanted it.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do
that. And even though they got that like little pad around the
it didn't help.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, it still didn't help when you did crack the ball.
It was almost like you hit a cement block and you just stop. You know, it's just like dink.
yeah, and if the ball hit kind of the low part of the bat, that's like the worst spot too because like you felt that in both of your hands.
Stung
yeah,
so bad.
Yeah, and it stings. Yes. I think I don't know which is worse when you catch a ball like right in the middle of your palm and it's like a fast ball or using a bat and having that happen on the bat. I can't tell you what is worse. Yeah. That stinging is the same.
They both equally hurt a lot.
They are both equally stingy. They're like, I don't know if I like the stinginess of this.
Stingy. Very stingy.
but so here we are again. I'm going to give you the email address one more time. And it's mm092985@aol.com. That's mm092985@aol.com. And you can get a hold of Matt that way if you want to have a consultation about getting your kid tutored in baseball.
Yeah.
And it can be any kid. What ages?
Honestly, I could do it. Doesn't matter. So, it really doesn't matter.
So if you want to start off your kid and getting them involved.
Enough. Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yep.
You know, getting them involved.
Yeah.
This is the guy to talk to. His name's Matt Markey. You can also find him on Facebook.
Yep.
But it's mm092985@aol.com.
Yeah.
Probably a guy in the car going, God dang it.
Hopefully.
Pink Power Ranger.
But yeah.
Pink Power Ranger. PPR. at.
Oh, man.
And he has AOL, too,
right?
So which is so
yes,
funny
sir.
Because, like,
AOL.
one of my email addresses is AOL, but I use the Gmail constantly.
Yeah.
But, like, whenever I use the AOL, people are like, you still have AOL?
Yeah, that's what I thought when I first, you know, told you about it. I was like, oh my god, he's gonna say something. I know.
No, because I still have an AOL email address.
Mine's gone. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still have it. It's active and everything.
It's
and
funny because I got the little note, the noise when I have it on Gmail. I got this little wave every time I get it. It goes, you've got mail. I was like, yes.
Oh yeah.
That's so funny.
yeah. I mean, I think the easier way probably. I'm sorry to cut you guys off. The easier way probably would get a hold of me would be through Facebook, just to, like. Some of your friend requests, and then you know, just message me or whatever. And,
yeah,
you know, because I don't always check the email. You know,
and it's Matthew Markey, M A R Q U I S.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
He's got
any age, any position, it doesn't matter. You know, any position on the field.
Yep. Yeah,
we can work through.
Even better if they want to learn all the positions.
Sure.
Like,
and that's a beautiful thing.
Like knowing them all, I think that was the best thing when I was in Little League that I can probably take away from it is that. I was on every position except for shortstop and catcher.
Mm-hmm.
But I had every position,
sure.
every other position, and I was like, to get to know every other position, you know, you get to know which one's your best at, but right. also what that person has to do.
Yeah. And see that's amazing that you said that, you know what I mean? Because there's also kids that basically just get put in right field and then they're just stuck there.
Right? Yeah, for the remainder of their career.
You know, and
like their little league career.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it's you want the kids to learn everywhere.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Get a feel out of what they like, and they're like, oh, this is great. I like this. You know, I like second base.
You know, that's why I was like, I want to pitch.
Yeah.
Because I had tried everything else, and I was like, well, I haven't tried that.
Yeah.
So let's try that. And I found that to be my niche.
Well, I think it's funny because in the adult baseball league when I played, they're like, yo, we're not going to put you at shortstop anymore. We're going to make you pitch. I'm like, wait, I've never been a pitcher.
Yeah,
you're doing it. I was like, I'm going to get shellacked, bro.
What team was that?
It was first time I did it, I was with the Spiders.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to the Thunder. I took over the Thunder for a little bit, and I pitched with them.
Okay.
And then I did the Pittsfield Outlaws, which was my team.
Okay, nice.
And I pitched for them guys, and then they changed him to the Gremlins, and I went back and pitched for them.
Oh, okay.
We almost won the game because the dude wasn't paying attention, and the pop-up, he dropped the ball, and then we lost. Boy. I was like, man, come on.
Right? But I'll tell you, pitching is harder as an adult.
Yeah.
Sure.
Than it was when I was a kid. Yeah. I tried, and I was like, why can't I even reach home plate right
That's
now.
That's what he was doing. He was on my team. He was like,
I was like, no. I haven't done this in years.
Right, yeah.
Just kick it over to him.
Yeah.
And that's all it is like you have to warm up your arm. Like, all it really is that, like, I went like 20 years without pitching, and then all of a sudden I'm like, let me try. Mm-hmm. And this was before the injury, but after the injury, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
I was actually, Chug was the first person I threw a football to after that all happened. So. Yeah. So that felt good. That was like the first time I threw something.
Good. Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it already?
Yeah.
Wow. That quick. That fun, huh?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening to Chuck and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea on WTBR 89.7
WSBR 88.1 in Lee.
Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good day. And thank you, Matt, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad you showed up.
Yeah, me too.
Glad you came.
Me too.